Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Ted Olson and David Boies, together, the two guys that opposed each other in Bush v. Gore, came together to challenge Proposition 8, which basically took away the rights for gays to marry in California. They had those rights. They were deemed unconstitutional by Prop 8. We made a court challenge. Lance Brock said, I think it's important. This is a seminal case. This is like Brown versus the Board of Education. This is the last big piece of the civil rights puzzle to allow the one community in America that doesn't have equal protection under the law is the gay community. Proposition 8 is taking those rights away. We wanted the public to be able to see what happened in that courtroom.
That's Hollywood producer and director Rob Reiner recently on MSNBC's Morning Joe. Says defeating Prop 8 in California and codifying same-sex marriage in that state is the last piece of the civil rights puzzle to be put in place. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, September the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris joins us from the Ruth Institute for the first half hour or so. We're going to get her reaction to Rob Reiner's recent comments about same-sex marriage and civil rights. Also, the California GOP held its convention this weekend. There was an attempt on the part of a donor and some activists to soften the view, the platform, if you will, on issues, including marriage in California. We'll see what Jennifer says about that. A little bit later in this hour, Matthew Lee Anderson joins us. He's author of Earthen Vessels, Why Our Bodies Matter to Our Faith. He's also written an op-ed piece for the Washington Post titled Pat Robertson Forgets, Marriage is About Sacrifice Too. We'll discuss Pat Robertson's recent remarks about divorce and Alzheimer's. You can leave your comments on that subject at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Give us a call for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a regular guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Very well. What's your reaction when you hear Hollywood producer, director Rob Reiner say that defeating Prop 8 is the last piece of the civil rights puzzle?
I think the poor guy has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, you know, if you listen to that whole clip, he talks about marriage as if it's a little gold star that people get to wear. And gay people don't get to wear the little gold star, and they only get to wear a silver star. And so, therefore, their civil rights are being violated. The man has no clue that marriage is actually a social institution, that it's the most natural, basic, pre-political social institution that actually has a job and actually has a function, and that that job of attaching children to their mothers and fathers and to one another, that job has to get done. And what is really happening is that the state is trying to take over the most natural social institution that there is and co-opt it for its own purposes on behalf of a special interest group. That's what the redefinition of marriage is really all about. Poor Rob Reiner has no idea that marriage actually does something. And the more they talk like that, you know, that marriage is just like a little badge that somebody awards you and to make you feel good, the more destructive of the deeper meaning of marriage they really are, because they're obscuring the fact that marriage actually does something.
Now, there are two things that he said during his MSNBC appearance, and he repeated them several times. The first one was that the only group in the United States that does not enjoy equal protection under the law are gay and lesbians, and that the defeat of Prop 8 would give them that. Is it true that gay and lesbians don't enjoy equal protection under the law?
Well, see, see, that's really kind of an absurd thing to say. I mean, is he saying that gays and lesbians can't vote, that they can't make contracts, that they can't participate in the political process? I mean, what is he trying, that there are different rules for jury trials that apply to same-sex people, people with same-sex attraction? I mean, what is he talking about when he says they don't have, quote, equal protection under the laws? He doesn't seem to understand that when the Supreme Court says that marriage is a fundamental right, that they always had in mind man-woman marriage, and particularly if you look at some of the case law, the specific case law where the judge says that marriage is a fundamental right, they're talking about the procreative meaning of marriage always. That's why they're talking about man-woman marriage. So I mean, one of the cases is Skinner versus Oklahoma, where the issue, which was a eugenic statute, is what was at stake in that case, and poor Mr. Skinner was about to be vasectomized by the state of Oklahoma because he was considered to be a habitual criminal. He had just had 3 episodes of chicken thievery, and so therefore he was no longer going to be allowed to procreate. Not that he had been procreating, but the state said that Mr. Skinner's right to marry would be infringed by vasectomizing him. So what does that mean? That means they thought that if you took away his procreative powers, that he would be damaged goods in the marriage market. In 1923, that's what people thought. You know, so that case actually supports the view of man-woman marriage as a procreative institution, as a natural institution that the state has no right to interfere with. That's what that case actually stands for.
He also says that gays and we've heard this many times before, and it always mystifies me every time I hear it, regardless of the source, that before Prop 8, gays and lesbians had the right to marry, and then Prop 8 took it away. That is the standard story. Is it the true story?
Well, they had the right for a few months. You know, they had a right that was invented for them by the California Supreme Court, that was discovered in the California the Constitution by the California Supreme Court and created for them. So they had this right that the state of California manufactured, that overturning previous legislation, and the people of California decided they wanted to amend their constitution so that couldn't be discovered any further. You know, so the strategy of the advocates for redefining marriage seems to be that the game goes until we get the outcome we want, and then it stops and it's fixed and forevermore that's the law, and that's all we're going to play by. After that, no further changes are allowed. And it's really quite extraordinary when you think about it, how much effort they've put into changing the law, and then they want to tell us that we're not allowed to participate anymore. You know, that's different.
Well, back to the question of equal protection under the law.
Yes.
Why couldn't I, let's say for the sake of argument, that I want to take more than one wife, I want to practice polygamy, why couldn't I argue that refusing me the right and the legal right to do this is infringing upon my equal protection under the law? I'm a polygamist, and polygamists don't enjoy equal protection under the law. Or let's just say I wanted a plural marriage where, I don't know, me and a couple guys and a couple girls, polyamory.
Right.
And we need equal protection under the law.
That's right. The thing that the same-sex marriage advocates never want to deal with is the fact that their arguments will apply equally to the scenarios that you just described. All of their arguments would apply equally to that, and they really can't do anything to stop it. And so, and in Canada, we're already seeing pushes in that direction. So it's not like it's some far-fetched thing that somebody's just inventing out of whole cloth. The arguments that they're making for equal protection for types of marriage apply just as well to the things that you describe, including underage marriage and, you know, a lot of other things. You know, so they're forgetting or refusing to see that marriage is something and that marriage has a social function and that it's not something that you're quote-unquote entitled to. It's something that anybody who will play by a certain set of rules is entitled to. So a person, if you go to get a marriage license, Todd, they don't ask you, are you gay or straight? They don't ask you. They don't care about that. They just want to know, have you ever been married before and are you about to marry a woman? That's all they care about. And it's the same question that they ask everybody who walks in, more or less, if you see what I mean. So the whole equal protection business is a kind of dodge to hide the fact that equality is something that always needs to be defined. It's never self-evident who should be counted as equal to whom and for what purposes. And so what's really going on is taking away the institutional functions of marriage. That's really what these guys are trying to do, because they've already in their minds redefined marriage to be it's whatever grown-ups say it is, and they've already taken kids out of the picture. And honestly, I think 30 years from now, it's the marriage redefiners who are going to look like knuckleheads. I think in 30 years from now, Rob Reiner is going to look like the real meathead when we see what happens to children and the stability of their relationships with their parents because of the continual deinstitutionalization of marriage and the continual stripping of the functions of marriage.
So your point is that there's something even more fundamental in the marriage question than even equal protection under the law. It is
absolutely.
It is what is marriage and what is its function apart from any legal considerations. About 30 seconds, Jennifer.
Yeah, that's it. Of course, that's right. I mean, until you know what marriage is and what it's supposed to do, you don't have a clue what equal protection with respect to marriage would even mean. That's the point. So, yes, you put your finger right on it, that the marriage redefiners don't know what the institution is that they're trying to redefine. And so, therefore, they've gotten themselves into this tangle of saying anybody gets to marry anybody they want, anytime they want, and then they can't exclude these other things that are obviously not right.
Well, when we come back, I want to find out what Jennifer has to say about attempts this weekend to soften California GOP's platform. Nothing written in stone yet, but to soften the platform on many issues, including marriage. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. We're coming to you live this Monday, September the 19th.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600 or oakbrookgc.com.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues, Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old theology, new technology, Issues, Etc. Now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. We're talking about, well, we're moving on to the subject of California GOP, their convention, and the issue of marriage. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking about Pat Robertson's recent remarks about divorce and Alzheimer's. Matthew Lee Anderson, author of Earth and Vessels, Why Our Bodies Matter to Our Faith, and author of an op-ed piece for the Washington Post titled Pat Robertson Forgets Marriage is About Sacrifice Too. He'll be our guest. Jennifer, what is going on in the California GOP?
Well, that's a good question, what's actually going on. As in many political parties, there are all kinds of things going on in the California GOP, and I am by no means a political person, but I did go up to the the GOP convention that was held in Los Angeles this past weekend because we heard that there was a move afoot to remove the pro-life and pro-marriage language from the platform of the California Republican Party, and what was widely reported, they're not even embarrassed about this, is that there was a wealthy guy called Charlie Munger, who basically is paying people who are on the platform committee to be there and vote the way he wants them to vote, and they had created a new draft. Platform to replace the old platform, and their new draft platform they think will be more quote unquote moderate, and it had stripped out all of the pro-life and pro-marriage language, you know, which is the stuff that gets a lot of people off their seats and out into the public square to work for the California Republican Party. So it didn't look intelligent even by political standards. And so my husband and I went up, you know, sort of as private individuals to just see what's going on here and try to figure it out. And so yes, indeed, there was a movement to change the platform, and it was defeated. It was defeated soundly by the vast majority of the platform committee of the California Republican Party.
So essentially, this donor/activist wanted to see the GOP broaden its base, and he thought that softening on issues like marriage would accomplish that.
Well, you know, I am hesitant to say what this particular donor activist thinks he's doing, because he also authored a couple of redistricting bills that have had the effect of really harming the Republican Party's ability to get elected in certain places. You know, they were not helpful. You know, everybody's like scratching their heads, like, what is this guy doing? Why is he a Republican? So I honestly don't know what he thinks he's doing. But it is true that what they say they're doing is, oh, let's get rid of all these divisive issues, like marriage and life. And what one of the guys said, the guy who's defending it in the committee, said, well, our old platform is out of date. We need to say more about jobs, jobs, jobs. We're going to win on this, on the economy. It's all about jobs, blah, blah, blah. Well, and then the opposition stood up, Mike Spence stood up and said, wait a second, the old platform had plenty of stuff about economic issues, but it also had these other issues. It had life, it had marriage in it. And the fact is that minority voters voted in favor of Proposition 8. More people voted for Prop 8 than who voted for any of our candidates. So why are we throwing out our support for an initiative that the voters like? You know, it doesn't make any sense politically. So that's really, in a sense, what the debate is about. You know, if you're going to say, well, let's broaden the base of the party, broaden it to whom? You know, who are you going to attract by throwing that stuff out that you don't already have? And that's really what the question is about.
Speak briefly, if you would, about the effect of what happens at the state level in California and other states, of course, and its ramifications long term for what happens nationally on these kinds of issues that were being suggested should be dropped from the GOP platform in California.
Well, yes, I think that the fact that the voters of California approve Proposition 8 is enormously significant, and so does everybody else. So does Rob Reiner, for example. You know, so does Equality California. So does the Human Rights Campaign. Everybody understands that the fact that we put together a coalition of Californians who believe in traditional marriage, man-woman marriage, that that's extremely significant. It has given encouragement and hope to people all across the country. And so it really does matter. Now, how much the activities of the California Republican Party matter to the rest of the country, that's not so obvious to me, you know, because, you know, the California Republican Party didn't pass Prop 8. You know, they just sort of stayed out of the way. Nominally they helped, but they didn't do that much, really. It's important that they stayed out of the way. They could have done a lot of harm, right? But the Republican Party of California right now is not really much of a vehicle for getting very much done. That's my own opinion, just looking at it as an outsider. I just don't think they get much done. They can't even stop really terrible things from passing in Sacramento. So what they do, how much effect that will have in the rest of the country, not obvious to me. But these voter initiatives that come out of California, demonstrating that even the people of California care about the social conservative issues, that matters, I think, enormously across the country.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. We'll post a link to the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Jennifer.
Hey, you're welcome, Todd. Bye-bye.